Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, welcome, friends. It's Monday night, and welcome back to your show, Raising Expectations. We hope and pray you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We all certainly did. It's great to know that God gives us so much to be thankful for. He's forever working in our lives, and we know that we're loved. And I think one of my favorite axioms at that point is simply this: there's nothing I can do to make God love me more, nothing I can do to make God love me less. God simply loves me, and it's absolutely awesome and beyond my understanding. Thanksgiving's a great time to remember that. We're excited about tonight. We always are, as you can tell, but we've got a very special guest, and she's like family with us. She's been on quite a bit, and quite a few of your texts and emails came in to me today. You're sure excited she's with us tonight, and she's here, and I know that she's going to bless us. We're going to have a wonderful time sharing and talking about a great subject. I put down what she had shared. I was really struck by it. I thought, what a great thing she wrote in. So you've all been reading it. So she heads off in that direction. She's got you ready to go. You'll be primed and ready. So again, thanks for being with us tonight on Raising Expectations. You know, we're all believers. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe he's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross, rose from the grave, and is coming again for us. And like we like to say, that tells us who we are, where we're going, and in the meantime, he's walking the road with us. And that's the neat thing about Christmas. God is in it with us, and he proved it at Christmas, and he did it at Easter to come back for us. So tonight, we're going to show our wonderful group of folks again that are on our team, our co-host team. We're going to start again on the West Coast like we always do, and we're going to work our way back to the East Coast, actually the South part of the East Coast. But anyway, we're going to start on the West Coast, and that is the great Dr. Paul Hall, who's been my friend 50 years. And Paul, yeah, where is he? There he is. Yeah, he's good to see you, Paul. And Paul is in the thriving city there of Lompoc, and you got to say it like Polk, like the Cowboys. If you're Oklahoma State, Harden Simmons, or any other, it's a real cowboy. That's the way you say it. So that's the way I learned. I had it wrong for 2 years. But anyway, Lompoc, California, where they shoot the missiles right out of his backyard, practically. And Paul's a theologian. He's a retired pastor. He's written some great things. He just pastors people all the time. And a neat thing about him, too, he reminds Stephanie of her dad. That's a cool thing, huh, Steph? You can see we're coming up to Steph a little bit. That's a real good thing. But love you, man. Sure glad to see you tonight, brother. We're looking forward to it. Oh, by the way, too, somebody asked me this week, and I forgot to say, he is the scribe. Somebody actually asked that, Paul. And I said, he is the scribe, because he takes the notes.
There you go.
Check him out. Of all the guys that we were in school together so many years ago, but of all the guys in classes, nobody took notes like Paul. You know, we all wanted to buy his notes. They were that good. But anyway, he's got the notes down. We're coming out with a book later. It's going to be Raising Expectations. You Are There. And it's going to be the book where he talks about, he's going to show from the different people that we've had going on, my goodness, 4 years. 4 years. And we don't look a day older. But anyway, it's been a great 4 years. Yeah. So Paul's there in Lompoc, California, and near Santa Barbara, if any of you don't know the topological neck of California there. So if we go all the way across the nation to the East Coast, south part of the East, the actual South there, we had two of our favorite people again in the world, Stephanie and Dr. Craig Thayer. We call her Steph. That's what the family and people who love her call her. And she is, as you know, the CEO founder of Quenching Wells. She is a health and wellness coach. There you go.
Ooh,
live your There you go. Live your life out loud. She could tell you how to take care of yourself, how to put yourself back in shape. And she knows the Lord is her Savior. So therefore, she talks about your physical self, and she has the key to it, which is your spiritual self. So she works you from the inside out in your relationship with God and taking care of who you are, because your body's the temple of God. He helps you out with that too, whatever it might be. And so she's right there with her husband. He's the good looking guy on her left. And there you go right there. And she helps to make him all that he is. And that's Dr. Craig there. And we lovingly call him Tank because he's 6'5". So we call him anything that he likes. If he wants to be called anything, that's what he does. We got it, bro.
So big, I can't get out of your way.
That's right. We just call it that, and we're in good shape if we do that. But Tank is a trauma surgeon. He's the kind of a doctor who looks at the situation, prays over it, and then God uses his hands and his mind from his heart to bless and touch and very often save people's lives in a very spectacular way. He's been a missions doctor. He just came back from Uganda, helping people there in Africa and helping them in ways that they never would have if he wasn't committed and Stephanie wasn't supportive and they weren't together and serving the Lord. It's really something to see that. But he also is an author, and his book is called Saved. It's a new book. It's a great book, Finding God in the Ordinary. And that's where he lives. Like he says in his book, testimonies from his life, you discover how God was always there. Sometimes we go right by him, we miss him. But as he looked back, he saw God now, particularly looking over our shoulders, how he's in the midst of everything in his life. And he has helped design and make Craig the great man that he is today and the blessing in all of our lives and our brother in Christ. So love your book, Craig. Really glad for it. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, get that one right, didn't I? There it is. It's excellent. Somebody called me, texted me today on it, and I sent the stuff that you guys had up. I said, just go there and find it. So it's right there for you, ready to go. So I was really tickled about that. So that takes care of South Carolina. Actually, it's Georgia, next to South Carolina, in Dalton, Georgia, which is near Chattanooga. And if you go and look up Mountain, you might find out where the heck you are. That's what I need to do sometime. But anyway, they're right in that area.
It's okay, I'm under witness protection, so thank you for helping me.
No problem. Yeah.
Blew the cover.
Yeah, and that's South Dakota, like we were saying. South Dakota, you find them right there, just in the center of the state. No problem whatsoever. And we've got an FBI lady with us tonight, so don't give us any trouble. But anyway, we're moving right along. Love you guys. If we come back to the left, if we look across the map, we come back to the great state of Texas, and one of our favorite pastors in the whole wide world, as you know, is Pastor Ron Greer. And you find him in McKinney, Texas there, and they keep him there so that McKinney becomes a better place to live. And he works with Man in the Mirror, and he's a counselor. He works there with Man in the Mirror, and you'll see a lot of stuff about him right there, and we're excited about that. He works with groups, with churches, with men, one-on-one, personal, but most of all, he listens, because he's the kind of a counselor as a pastor that when he hears, because he listens, and he goes through the heart where the Lord lives, like with Tank, he's able to help men find out who they are and to see defeats as victories when God is put in charge of what they are. So love and appreciate Ron. Good to see you, Ron. All right. Yeah. Right. Love that bookcase. Still takes first prize. That's right. But anyway, that's right. You can't. It's the best bookcase. All right. Well, moving right along, we're going to go again in the state of Texas, staying real close there in Texas. And that is our good friend, Janine Cunnell. And she has an incredible background. She's been called the Texas Renaissance Woman. And she has a book out also. We're going to show you a picture here. There's Janine. She has horses. She knows how to ranch. She helps people. Her son is a pastor. I think I've got that right. She was with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, working counterintelligence. And she's one sharp lady. And here, her first book there, The Overcomers, was a great book. We'll let her tell you some about that. And I certainly have enjoyed looking at this. It's been great. So you'll be able to get her book, and she'll share a little of that with you also. But in any event, Janine is there in Texas also, in, I think, Weatherford, just next to Fort Worth, just across the freeway there, not too far from McKinney. And so Janine is going to share with us. You probably heard what she had said. Many of you knew about this when it came in, but the thing that really spoke to my heart that got a hold of me, and my phone was down. I really liked what she said, and this what she said, and I want to, and she can address this. In our contemporary era, it's crucial to understand that Jesus' directive to avoid seating oneself at the head of the table extends beyond mere etiquette. It speaks to the profound significance of being in the right place at the right time, his right place at his right time, vital for the days that lie ahead. Boy, I was intrigued by that. So we want to give the right hand of excitement that you're coming to be with us. The round of applause that comes. Boy, Ron, when you get a brain freeze at this age, they're really good. Let's give her a round of applause heard around the world. Janine, welcome to Raising Expectations. Good to have you with us. Tell us some more about your book and your title there.
It's awesome to be back. You know, I feel like that this whole family is a family of overcomers, actually.
Amen.
We've been preparing a long time for this moment. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what overcomers are. They are people that have yielded to the training that we've been given our entire lives. And now's the time that we're going to start utilizing it. So The Overcomers was actually written when I was on the domestic terrorism squad. I'm not certain if the FBI has those squads anymore, but back in the day, we were concerned about domestic terrorism. I think now it's more international. And I'm not even sure that we're that concerned about that. Ron and I sort of know what that feels like living in Texas. So from the government standpoint, you know, I still like to stay involved in intelligence. And that's when I was praying about the show today. I really, after talking to friends of mine in the community and the three-letter agencies, I realized that if there was ever a time that we need to be walking lockstep with the King of Kings and what his mission is, this would be the time for that. The days that lie ahead, we have nothing to fear because we are loved and we are in the beloved, but you have to make sure that you know that. You know, it's interesting because I feel like in a way that a lot of us, one of the activities that I took to sort of help myself understand is I sat down and wrote exactly how I felt about myself just that one day, like in the morning. I just started writing down, how do I feel about myself? And after a page of writing, I realized very quickly that who I thought I was and what the word says I am were not exactly lining up. So it was very important that I take time to recalibrate and pay attention to who he says I am. And so, you know, I guess the thing that I want us to do, probably the most important, is to make sure that we're congruent with how God sees us. Mm-hmm. Because if you know who you are, I have been in situations before where you have to really, when you're alone and you're in other countries and you're carrying out a mission, you have to know who you are regardless of how you feel. Your feelings do not come into effect. Now you sort of pull the curtain on that and say, regardless of how I feel. So it sort of helps you decipher the lies of the enemy and how God sees you, because the word says his sheep hear his voice and we're his sheep. So we need to practice hearing his voice. So that's where that thought came from today. I wanted us to take a moment to determine who we are. This is not a time to retreat. We have to be willing to lay down our previous expectations and parameters and allow God to, what is that scripture about increasing your tent, moving your tent pegs? What is that, Pastor? Do y'all know what that is?
More hints.
Yeah, we just heard that last 2 weekends ago. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Just increasing the area of your influence.
Influence on moving your tent there.
I got it. Isaiah 54:2. Enlarge the side of your tent, stretch out the curtains, And then I don't know because Google is failing me.
Isaiah 54,
do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Isaiah 54, 2.
And you know, my sister mentioned something to me the other day that as easy as it is to self-sabotage yourself, it's just as easy to set yourself up for success. But you have to flip the script. And that is something that you have to do intentional. And that's part of what you do when you're in the intelligence community. You have to flip the script in your mind, regardless of what you see, how you feel, you rely on your training. And I'm sure everyone at the table tonight knows the importance of relying on your training. And we've all been trained for decades for this moment. So in reality, this is kind of an exciting time to be in. I think there's a lot of people that wish that they were chosen to live in this generation. And we are those folks.
Yeah. If you could think of one word like that, what would the kind of the one word be, you guys? Like for myself, I'll throw out boldness. I really don't care anymore. There's a boldness when I think about what you just said, Janine, that, Lord, I don't know what here should be said exactly, but show me what it is and I'll say it. I mean, you know, bolder than I think I've ever been in my life.
I'd say non-tolerant.
Yeah.
Meaning the churches in America, the Christians in America have sat back for a long time and taken punches and been called names and whatever, but it's time to stand up for our faith.
Yes. Yeah.
Tolerance is a sin.
I know this is going to sound odd, but for me, it's love. I had a revelation a couple of days ago that love possibly is the only weapon that the enemy never sees coming. Mm-hmm. He literally cannot see love because he is not in love. And so that is a powerful weapon that I think could probably blindside the enemy. So for me, I'm taking an active role in operating in love. And as we all have been taught over the years, there's such a thing as tough love as well, right? Mm-hmm. So love protects. It catches the enemy in his own gallows, frankly. Mm-hmm. And that is really how I develop relationships in the community. And regardless of how they treat me, mm-hmm. I return it with love. Mm-hmm. I'm bold, but I also do it regardless of how I feel because I always speak the truth, regardless of how it is perceived. A lot of times, you're right. A lot of times we want to withdraw what we say or sort of stick our head in the sand because we're concerned that maybe it's too radical or maybe we're going to be discriminated against or, well, those days are over. It's time for us to get on the front lines.
Yeah,
so we used to always say, on the squad, we wanted to be on the front lines if we have to, because I used to always tell everybody, you're going to be here until your mission is over. So there's really nothing to fear. And if your mission if you're entering the close of your mission, may as well go out with a bang, right? There's no sense in going out silently. Might as well do it loud and proud.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that because the way it was presented in my training was 100% truth and 100% love, but I was only allowed one word. So I went with the truth first, and then you bring the other half of the story, which is you've got to temper that truth with, like, look, we're all created as beautiful people in the image of God. Some of us have demons on our back that they don't know about. But they're still created in a perfect image, right? So somehow we need to bring the truth that we know with 100% love, like you said, to people. And then hopefully they see and don't, because if it's just truth, it looks like judgment. But if you bring it with love, then it's,
amen.
It's tolerated. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, let's talk about that scripture, the scripture that what was discussing about to avoid seeing yourself at the head of the table.
Mm-hmm.
That scripture actually says, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it's better that he say to you, come up here, and then you will be put, that you then should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. So basically they're saying that in the royal court, as it is in life, that self-seeking is and pride is going to bring you down instead of bring you up. And so I just found it so amazing and interesting that immediately I thought, what's so incredible about this, what is so profound, is that we are seated with him in heavenly places already. So I think if we perceive ourselves as who we are in reality, we are seated with him in heavenly places. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Then we don't need to command or demand a seat at the table, because simply showing up changes the atmosphere. And then you allow God to do his work. And I think in today's world, because people are striving so much for, or I see a lot of striving for significance and validation and purpose, that people are somewhat trying to force themselves into positions of authority or in places of power. And that doesn't, according to the scripture, that doesn't get you to where you need to be. In fact, if you had the mindset of who you're there representing, I experience that all the time. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more exhilarating.
Well, that first thing you said too is so real, that and I use sometimes metaphors that are get simpler the older I get, because it seems like people grab them and hold on to them much quicker than if I sound too astute, which for me is on the side of miraculous anyway. But you know, I call it junior high thinking. And it definitely, what you were saying shows the old nature. When I have to toot my own horn, my mom and dad said, Joe, whatever you do in life, don't toot your own horn. And I never realized how much that meant, as my dad was launching off stuff out of JPL, landing stuff on Mars. You can look him up and there he is, but I never knew it. But here's the thing. You remember when you're in junior high? Think back now. I'll give you time to think. No, but think back. If you look back at junior high. Yeah. I mean, you remember when you get there and you're trying so hard to do what Janine said. You're trying to make yourself look better. You're trying to be just the right thing. That's why that TV show was so funny years ago about the kid who grew up with the girl next door and went to junior high. And pretty soon you get to know the people around you. Why? Because you want to be what you think that person wants you to be. And you remember that. And then you want to be what she wants you to be. And you want to be what he wants you to be. And this teacher wants you to be. And you got to remember, what if I do this, they're going to like me. They're going to like me. They're going to like me. Pretty soon you got so many they're going to like me, you can't remember who was tied to which they're going to like. And the problem that's sad about that is some people never grow out of that. And as you get older, you should learn with maturity that it doesn't matter. As a Christian, hey, I just want to make sure the Lord likes me today. I know he loves me, but I wanted to be pleased that I followed what he wanted me to do today. And one last thing, this is a quote. I don't know if it was my dad or Dr. Sands at First Baptist San Jose or where I got it, but it was simply this: the greatest men I have ever known never told me so. Right, Tank?
That's power.
I look at you guys in this room and ladies, and that's an example of what I just said. Mm. I said enough. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So let me tell you about a table that I was sitting at one time. I was in a war room in the Middle East, and I really could not figure out how I found myself there. I mean, it was a series of events, but I found myself sitting around a table, and rather than panic and try to think of what I was going to say or make myself relevant, I mean, you have to think about it. Middle East, a blonde female just doesn't work so well, especially right not when it comes to giving advice or anything like that. But I'm sitting at the table and I just began to pray in my spirit without, you know, just in my spirit, I just began to pray and just began to intercede for the leaders, the world leaders that are sitting around the table about how to handle the war and what, you know, actions they needed to take. And I just continued to pray. And I'll never forget the moment that the Minister of Defense for Israel back then was Ariel Sharon. And Ariel Sharon turns to me and he says, "What do you think?" And just the whole room turns around and looks at me. And then that was the time, because I was prayed up and filled up. What spilled out of my mouth was not practical advice, but it was from the word of God about the God's people and how he would protect and give wisdom and strategies. And I think I began to talk about some tribe in the Bible that God said, this is the strategy you use. And it seemed foolish to man, but with God on your side. And the whole room just was, had their mouths drop open, because first of all, I was the only female in there. But secondly, because I was not thinking about myself. So if there's one powerful piece of advice that I can give that I have learned over the last several decades in the community that I have been working in, is that when you enter somewhere, do not think about you, who you are, what your validation is, that stuff should have been settled way before you enter that space. And you walk in with the confidence of who is your beloved and who you're representing. And there is just something about the eye contact that you make, the way you stand tall. You don't look at the floor. You walk in with the confidence and the joy of the Lord without ever saying anything. And if you do that, that is how you know your audience, because then you begin to hear his voice. But if you're focused on yourself, you can't pay attention to what he's saying, because you've got all this noise in your head trying to figure out what you're going to say. And
amen.
And I've made, and the reason why I bring that up and say, if there's one piece of advice I could give to our listeners, is because I have been that girl. You know, I was a news anchor back in the day and thought I was all that in a, what is it? All that in a bag of
chips.
Yeah.
That's it. Careful, you're from Texas. So this is where you're in. This is a horse picture.
But, you know, God had to allow me to come down a few notches to realize that I wasn't all that in a bag of chips. And when you really realize who you really are, you make much more of an impact and have a lot more to say and a lot more to bring to the table.
Amen. 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 That's it, Ron.
Well, yeah, I would say that you're spot on, because a lot about, how can I say it? A lot about inefficiencies and our lack of confidence, and our people get arrogant and big headed, and then of course, as you said, in the company of other people, they think are important. They somehow see themselves as not important. It's because, in my mind, I'll go this way. I think Paul writes the book, the letter to the Ephesians, right? He spends 3.5, almost 4 chapters strictly on their identity. Mm-hmm. Before he gets to giving them instructions of how to live this life, mm-hmm. he goes to this whole treatise about who they really are, right? That God chose them before the creation of the world to be holy mm-hmm. and blameless. That in love he predestined them to be adopted as sons. You know, he goes to this whole thing over and over again. And then he says, okay, now starting chapter five, because it's one of those things that the scripture addresses over and over again. Paul addresses with the Ephesians, with the Colossians, Peter addresses in all 3 letters. It's all about their identity. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, God has gathered us to himself. In other words, don't forget who you are. So no matter where you are. So if I know who I am, I understand my identity, I have nothing else to worry about. You know, I can walk in a crowd of anybody, anywhere, with anybody, anywhere. I know, first of all, that I am his creation. that he is always with me. He'll never forsake me or leave me. I am his son. I am a priest in his hands. So therefore, no matter what the circumstances are, you know, my God is above and greater than all others and everything else. I don't have to worry about it at that point. I don't have to pretend like I'm something I'm not. You know, I don't have to bow down and become all mealy mouth because, you know, I don't fit in with these people.
Right. You know, the cross, people wear a lot of crosses and this and the other. And hey, if you get the right picture of it, it's right. You just said, again, we live life on two planes. And Ron, you just said it well. And if I'd been sitting where Janine was sitting in that room, she really said that well too. When you stop and think about it, God just says, your relationship to me is supposed to be like the cross. You know what I did for you on the cross. Now, would you live like the cross for me? And we kind of say, what? He said, it's very simple. The cross is built like this. He said, if you live your life, whatever crowd you're in, like you said, Ron, you put it great. You live your life looking up to me. And like Janine said, knowing who I am in your life. You live right on the vertical plane. I will take care of the horizontal plane. Everybody around you, everything you have to face, I'll take care of it. Because I already did it once, and I'll take care of it for you. And that just made it come to my mind what you both said at that point. Yeah, they knew who they were when they got done hearing from Paul in Ephesians. That was good. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I not to brag, but one of the questions I've faced over and over again for years was that I was always in certain situations, and people knew my testimony because I made sure. I was in a number of places. Whenever I was called, I always requested, I will come and speak, but you have to let me give my testimony first. Yeah. And some places they would say, well, we think that'd be inappropriate. I'd say, well, I don't want to come and speak then. Yeah. And they would go, why? Because I wanted people to understand that who I am and where I came from, sure. So that they would know also that the things. Anything that rolled out of my mouth that was sound and that was valuable wasn't from me. Mm-hmm. If nothing in my background or anything else would say, okay, this guy has some great knowledge and insight. I was speaking in the congressional dining room to all these congressional staff members and members of Congress on a stage speaking to them, and I remember there was two music star. Recording artists, and a couple other people. And a guy asked, he said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I was a firefighter. Now I run a halfway house. He goes, okay, no. What do you really do? I said, I was a firefighter and now I run a halfway house. He said, okay, well, where are you? I mean, what's your background? I said, I'm ex-con, became a firefighter. And so look at his face. And then later on, he gets to the question. In other words, what are you doing here? Why are you the guy on the podium speaking?
Yeah.
And trying to explain to him, listen, God placed me here because he had a message for people here. It had nothing to do with me. And then this conversation goes a little different, right? He wants to know how I could even dare think that I have something important to say.
Exactly.
Listen,
yeah.
I know who my father is. I know what he has done. I know what he says, and I know what he's done to me. He placed me in this place on this day. I didn't come walk in. I was invited here by a group of folk. So I could have done like a lot of folk when I was approached by some big powerful politician, you know, kind of just shrivel up and like, oh, well, I don't know. No, God placed me here.
Did he have
that circumstance has come over and over again. I mean, I think I mentioned before, every 2 years when I was an EMT for 15 years, I have to write a letter and reapply for my EMT license. Why? Because EMTs can't have a felony conviction. But they gave me a license every 2 years for 15 years, 16 years. And people go, well, how is that possible?
Amen.
God does what he wants to do. I just do my part.
That's called favor with God and with man.
Amen. Yes. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, lots of things. I had a pilot instructor tell me one time, I think I mentioned it a couple of years ago on the program. He said, pilots do not rise to the occasion. They default to the level of their training. I thought that was pretty profound, you know, and I had to think about that a lot along the way. In the family of God, those of us who've been privileged to be able to pastor and to share that lifestyle with other people, we've run into some real charlatans along the way, you know, people who are puffed up in their own understanding. Yes. And I don't know who they saw when they looked in the mirror, but it makes our task doubly difficult sometimes, I think, because I think the world has a certain understanding, or not an understanding, they have a certain perspective based upon what they see. And that's why it's so important that we walk the walk and talk the talk, and we're consistent, you know, to do that. And also, I think accountability is so much a part of that. You know, if I've asked people different times, you know, if I've got my hat on crooked, tell me my hat's on crooked. I remember when Paul took Peter to task because as long as the Jewish Christians were around, you know, Peter would just eat and have a fun time. But when the Judaizers showed up, he defaulted back to his whole old patterns. And Paul says, you know, how dare you? You know, this is a matter of grace. And I think in the body of Christ, encouragement is such an important part of that. Holding people accountability is equally important, I think. And I was just thinking as y'all were talking how important that is. We are living with the demand of being so countercultural. In terms of what the world would look for in us. But we know the truth. We know the Father. Final thing I want to say is I grew up in a small town, less than 3,000 people. And people knew who my dad was. And that went a long way in me making good decisions and wise decisions. And, you know, I think when we know who our Father is, as Ron said a little bit earlier, we know who our Father is, that should go an awfully long way, because other people know who our Father, or who we claim our Father to be. And it's important we walk in that consistency and bring glory to Him. You know, amen to what you said, Ron. You know, it's not about me. It's not about where I've been or what I've done. It's really all about Him. So those are some of my thoughts. You know, I just relish the opportunity to think while you all are talking about it. And I take notes. So I'm hanging in there, you know, hanging in there.
Absolutely. We got to publish those, make those available.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was only 4 books so far. So we'll get there.
My ADD brain, I can't listen and take notes at the same time.
Yeah.
Were you racing?
Horrible, Ed, horrible.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I was raised in Texas. That's a very crucial point, is the training. So let's talk about that for a second. You can go to the gym and watch other people work out. I'm sure Stephanie can speak to that. But it does you absolutely no good until you get in there and do it yourself. And it's painful.
I know. It's awful.
It's awful.
Like great videos.
But I highly, highly agree with the pilot, because if you will participate in your own training and stop having the mindset that everything is happening to you is the devil. The devil is not all the big, bad, powerful thing that you think he is, unless you give him the authority in your life to do that. What you're going through in your life is training, preparing you for your mission. And training is difficult. When you build muscle and shred muscle and repair muscle, that's a painful process. It's not the devil. It is the process of maturing and growing and building muscle. And so we have all been through crazy things in our life, Ron, and painful moments, but all of that was muscle that you needed for the season that we're in right now. And it is very vital that we can lean on that training in the season that we're entering. In the intelligence community, nobody agrees on what the threat is. Nobody even agrees on anything anymore. Nobody knows what the real threat is. Nobody can articulate it, and everybody has a different opinion. And you can't even tell who's telling the truth these days. And in that case, what do? You rely on your training. You rely on the word of God, what he says, what his mission is for you. And anybody that's watching that is struggling, like you can't figure out, you feel like you've just been beat up and can't figure out your mission. And well, let me tell you a story about me as a farm girl. If you want something, you plant the seed of what you want. So if you'll just take the small step of finding what it is that you're longing for, if you're longing for a friend, then plant the seed and be a friend. If you're wanting love, then you plant the seed of love. And you cannot have an expectation of a different harvest than what you're planting. And to your point, Ron, I have to tell you, a scripture came to my mind when you were talking, and I saw visually that Jesus was saying to you and others, it was the joy that was set before him, Ron Greer, that helped him endure the cross.
That's right. Amen.
And so if everyone could think about that, it was the Ron. It wasn't who Ron was going to be, who Ron was, who he is. It is who he saw you as. Amen. And that was the joy that helped him make it through what he went through. So people have to take hold of that and realize that the joy that was set before Jesus is what helped you. You were that joy.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good point. Good point.
I want to give Janine kudos. So I'm just reflecting on the war room you were in. And, you know, I don't know how many people were in there, but as a leader, if you lead as a team, there's a point at which you know there are people in the room that have more wisdom than you do. And you have to humble yourself and look around and say, who is that person? And I need to ask them their advice. Mm-hmm. And that's what Sharon did with you.
Yeah, you know, before he actually said to me, Janine, if only more people would know the word of the voice of their father from his word as you do, the world might be a different place. So I know him different than a lot of people say he is or was. He knew when he heard God's voice, and he wished other people would cherish the scripture as much as, and of course, I had no idea that that was what his takeaway was until years later. So it's amazing. You know how, I'm not a preacher man, a preacher woman, but when I listen to them, it's funny because when you preach, then everybody talks in the lobby after you preach. And I have never heard two people say they heard the same thing. Everybody says, man, that was the best sermon because he said, man, that was the best sermon because she said whatever. And nobody heard the same thing, which is so amazing the way God works. Because if you're living in alignment with who you are and you're speaking, he is capable of allowing everyone in that room to hear, everybody online to hear something different. Everybody's going to hear different because he meets you where you are. And that is a pretty awesome thing, in my opinion.
Amen. Or he was speaking right to me. Like all these different people, you haven't got a clue. You're speaking to me. God wants
it. And it's always...
Who you just said his name and I just went blank. It's getting later. But Ariel Sharon.
Minister of Defense.
Yeah, he had a really, from what I have read, close relationship with Golda Meir from the beginning, what he went through. And I guess from what at least what I read, and I think it's fairly accurate, that she had that ability in her background to talk to Jehovah God, mm-hmm. in her sense, and some of those difficult times, like one of the mistakes they made, she had depended on him and wanted to have listened afterwards to what he said rather than what she did. And so that was probably a great help to him. And again, that was part of the stuff going on where he understood God was speaking through you when you said that, like Ron said, or you shared. And that's really something, isn't it? How God works like that. That's something. And I think, Tank, the way you said that, that's really something. It really is. Appreciate that.
Hey, just a sidelight, okay. Off to the tangent here. You mentioned Golda Meir. Just wanted to say that I'm from Milwaukee. She's from my neighborhood and went to the school right down the street and came back to visit us, actually. But I mean, not to brag. Anyway, off the subject.
Okay, good. I can say what I want. So, what Janine was saying of, you know, that she was hearing from God in that situation, it doesn't just happen. You know, you can't not be talking to God for 5 or 10 years and then have this situation where you're saying, God, show up. The reason he was so present and that you were aware of it was because you had been consistent. You had been preparing. You are in the word. You are in prayer. I'm sure you were in worship. Those things are what is going to determine how you behave when it is a stressful situation, when it is a high alert situation. And people, I think, are more and more aware right now that this is not normal. This is not regular. The things that are happening are a lot and consistent and overwhelming, you know, insert whatever's happening in your life, but it's different than life has ever been. And so if there is ever a time to crack open the Bible, and even I love the Bible app, you can play it and there's some really wonderful voices. So even in the morning when I'm getting ready, I will just play Proverbs or John. Those are great. I'm not a pastor. I would start there if you have no idea what you're doing. They may say something else, but it's really, really vital to spend time. You can't expect to have this relationship or have wisdom, which is what you demonstrated in that room. You had wisdom. And often there will be situations where if you're a believer and you're really spending time and contending, you won't even remember what you said. And people will say, wow, what you said to me yesterday was profound. And you go, what did I say?
Right, pastors.
right,
pastors.
You're right.
I have people who wrote me. I've met them years later, and they tell this glowing thing about how what I said and God spoke to them. And I go, wait, what?
True.
Let me write that down. That was good.
Oh, and I wanted to say one more thing before I forget. Every morning, and I've been doing this the last few years. When I wake up, because I usually wake up with some kind of worship music. I pretty much have worship all constantly in the house. Just that God uses me for purpose. And it may be in the grocery aisle. It may be, I mean, I have no idea. But just to be able to be pause or be aware enough to be a blessing to somebody. And you have no idea how that may occur. And it's really not that hard, but you have to allow space for it.
On that, here's an example. So a guy is telling me he knows this person, right? This very well-known person at the time. And then this guy's in the room and he yells out, right? But the guy who says he knows this guy, tells him his story, doesn't respond. And so when the guy makes his way over in that area, talking to someone else and to him, he turns around and goes, oh yeah, you are. And it's like, and I want to ask, I thought you knew him. And it's one of those things where he met him, he knew of him, and he knew what he did. And the guy sort of remembered him from a conversation, but he didn't know him because he didn't spend time with him, didn't have a relationship with him. You know, and I think it goes back to your point, Stephanie. Too many believers don't hear God speaking because they don't spend time talking to him and listening to him.
They don't know him.
And when we do spend time, it's usually doing a lot of talking and then amen, thank you, and get up and walk away as opposed to listening. If I'm not in the Word of God, if I don't know the Word of God, I don't know God's voice. You know, if I don't know and understand what it is God says do and don't do, all right, I don't know what to do when it comes around. I'm on my own. And, you know, we see it over and over again. You get believers who make these ridiculous ridiculous decisions and do things. I mean, what are you doing? What does the Word of God say? Well, I just think God led me to do that. How would you do that? So yeah, it's same thing. You know, if you want to hear God speak, you know, stay in His Word. You know, listen, get to know what He says, what He doesn't say, how He says it, what His character is, and all right, then you recognize those things.
Uh-huh. And there's an old line that we know. Yeah, you remember, Ron, how does God speak to us? Through His Word, through counsel, through friends like Stephanie, testimonies, things. And but we use that old phrase to death. People don't know what it means. And have a vital personal relationship with God. Okay, what does that mean? Like Ron's saying, you know, and then prayer is a two-way street. You talk, but then you listen. If you don't listen, don't talk again. Just leave listening. We need to take just a quick break here. Stephanie, if you could give us a 60-second break here, that would be a blessing for us. Thanks.
If you want to check us out and find out all the things that are happening, you can do that at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can also find, I think, all of, well, I don't know, Paul, are you on social media? You can find us on there. We're poking around. You are on there.
Yep, and on.
There you go. At the top on the left, you can see where you can donate. We've gotten really fancy. We have a QR code for Venmo. We have PayPal. There's information on how to contact Pastor Joe directly if you want to give that way. You can see on the right-hand side, it has the different ways that you can call in and listen to the show. And then as you keep going down, there's all the past shows, the recordings, you can catch those. And we have them on all the main platforms as well. And then you can learn about each. Oh, look, see, there's our social media links. You're so good, TJ. So you can learn about each one of us and kind of a little bit more about who we are. And as Joe mentioned a little bit earlier, reach out, even if it's just feedback or what you love, what you'd like to hear about. We really appreciate that. You know, this show is to really build community and grow and remind people that we are more similar than different. There's the two books, I think. There's Pastor Joe's book, Legitimate Faith, and then Craig's Saved. You can find those. You know, Amazon's the main one, but just Google it. It'll show up for you. So that's us in a nutshell.
Amen. Thanks, Stephanie. We could use your help, folks. It's you could be the first to use that Venmo button. It'd be great. That would be fantastic. And Janine, we want to ask our guests who are like family to us too. We'd be more than glad if you want to put your book. We're going to do a library section on our webpage. We'd love to put your book up on there too. And just have your name. And we have an engineer that's fantastic. He will do an excellent job. Put you right up there with us and whatever we have going out there. And you think about it and put you right up. We have 60 seconds. That always happens. And I want to do a shout out. Thank you to the Thayers, you know. They have a really, really busy schedule, and they're on the East Coast, and they're up there with us till late at night every week. And I know,
sometimes it's really hard for me.
Oh, no, you do great. And you can tell when they're really wired, they took their special pill, they're ready to go. For
she responds to pinching, so. Yeah. My mom taught me that. That's like the Vulcan death grip, boom.
Usually in church. Yeah, but anyway, but that was a good one. So we sure want to thank you. It's 6:55. Janine, thank you. Thank you for your friendship and your life and your testimony and the words you shared with us. And thank you for being part of our family. We look forward to having you back again soon. And thanks for always making time for us. You're 2 hours back. You and Ron got the 2 hour back to ahead of us there. So, and we appreciate that. So we've got to sign off now, folks. We had to keep everything rolling in line. Check for Janine's book again. Janine, do you have a website real quick you can give us?
Janine'sRenaissance.com.
Janine's Renaissance, plural. Janine'sRenaissance.com. Google the spelling, folks. Don't goof it up. Janine'sRenaissance.com. I goofed it up once. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. We just love being with you each week. Janine, thank you very much. God bless you and your family and everybody on our team. Thanks so much. There we go. There's your website up and set for you. Thanks, TJ. I tell you, he is so quick. And there's your book right there. And we'll sure make sure that we drive people to that also for you and your testimony. There we go. There it is. Never too late for new beginnings. I love it.
Thank you.
All right. God bless and keep you, folks. And we'll see you later. Paul, take care. Good to see you, bro.
You too.
Ron.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Pinch each other. Go over you guys. Give a pinch. All right. God bless. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.